It is the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah, along with Jordan Sherwood. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Follow Jordan at Woodon1063. It is UFC 272. It is fight week. They're always fight weeks. That's why we're here. Every week is a fight week. But no more fight nights. No more just ESPN
Plus. At least for 1 week.
Yeah, this is a pay-per-view. This is a good one, too. This is a great card. Slightly less great than it was. Obviously, we are recording this on a Tuesday. Things might change. Weights might not get met. Certain things might happen. COVID might happen, which is what happened in the co-main event that we're going to talk about. But Jordan, as we look at this card, the main card is amazing. I mean, even without a belt on the line or a title or anything, like, this is the one you want to watch.
Well, that's the interesting thing, Abdallah, is that, like, there isn't a title on the line. Typically, you have one, if not two titles that are going to be defended for all of the pay-per-views. And this is a, you know, noteworthy enough, popular enough, at least in the minds of the UFC officials between Covington and Masvidal, that enough people are going to care to order this pay-per-view because there isn't a belt on the line. And in my mind, there's not even like a number one contendership on the line between these two guys. They just don't like each other.
That's great, though. That's the best part. These guys are friends. These guys were roommates. They trained together. Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal. They used to be the best of friends. This is, for those of you that listen to Black and Abdallah, this would be like myself and Chris Black starting to hate each other and eventually getting into a ring and trying to beat the crap out of
each
other.
This is good friends, better. Well, for me, I'm going to equate it to 80s wrestling. This is Macho Man Randy Savage, Mega Powers Explode, Good Friends, Better Enemies.
Yeah.
You know, two guys that were, you know, side by side with each other as they were on their way up in their careers, and now they just can't stand each other.
So let's start with the first news. Yeah. The co-main event is off for COVID reasons. A big fight on this card that everybody was looking forward to, but obviously Fyzev can't fight because of this this COVID issue. So there's another problem with this fight, and is it getting delayed? Are they going to try to find a new? I know that, you know, Makhachev was looking for a fight and probably trying to get on this, even though he just fought last week. But to be fair, did he even break a sweat last week?
No,
I mean, it was like three and a half minutes.
He didn't. Had a poor handicap on me. I thought Bobby Green was going to last at least a couple of rounds, but you know, Makhachev. I said, look, if Makhachev wants to win a champ, if he wants to fight for the championship, he goes out and he finishes Bobby Green, he finishes him quickly.
And that's exactly what he did.
He did it quickly.
He listened to you. He was like, you know what? I want that title shot.
Yeah, he's been listening to the
podcast.
So, I mean,
look,
he knows.
He's still warm. He's probably still got the ointment on the face. Like, let's get in there. Let's get this fight going.
And the thing is, like, the RDA versus Makhachev fight has been canceled twice. Like,
yeah.
You know, they've been linked up to fight at least two times. Both of those times canceled. RDA said he was in. Makhachev said he was in. But luckily, we still get another fight. You know, luckily, we still get RDA competing in the co-main event. So he's going to fight Hanato Moicano,
okay,
who just fought 2 weeks ago. He was victorious. He's won two fights in a row. He's now 3-1. Since returning to lightweight making his lightweight debut. So he's been a good finisher, Muay Thai practitioner, jiu-jitsu black belt. It'll be a great fight. And we get it for five rounds, and we get a co-main event intact. Doesn't have any, in my mind, doesn't have any, like, title implications,
mm-hmm.
but I love seeing RDA fight. RDA is a great fighter, journeyman that became a champion, a dominating, you know, fighter for a long time, always upper echelon, no matter what weight class he fights at. So seeing him fight is going to be awesome.
So I don't have odds for this fight, but how would you handicap that?
Yeah, I think for sure RDA is going to be likely a $1.80, $1.75 favorite,
okay,
just because, you know, he has struggled a little bit with you know, at the upper tier of this division, but Moicano's not that. This is also a catchweight fight at 160 pounds, and Dos Anjos has struggled with grapplers. Like, he lost to Colby Covington. He lost to Kamaru Usman. I actually was going to have him defeating Fiziev as an underdog. Mm-hmm. I liked RDA's chances, and hopefully they get linked up, you know, in the future. But should be a fun fight nonetheless. I'm going to wait and see, obviously, what the official odds come out, but I would handicap RDA as a slight favorite over Hanato Moicano.
If you want to get those picks, you can go to fatjacksports.com. Sign up for Jordan's picks. Those come out on Friday. Again, we're recording this on a Tuesday, so things might change.
Right.
Also, check that, and also follow you on Twitter, at @Woodon1063.
And did you see the timeline from last Saturday night? Like, we were off to a great start.
It was great.
We have premium picks. Those are part of the Fat Jack Sports service. Then we have opinions that you can get, like, I give them out here on the podcast, and then also some, like, prop bets to find. We were 6-0 to start the night. 6-0. And then some schlemiel says, off to a great start, 6-0.
Yeah.
Next three, lose.
Hey, that's 6-3 though. That's a winning night.
Yeah,
that's a winning night.
You were definitely very, very comfortable heading into Sunday morning to bet and maybe lose it on college basketball.
Off this, like, the second fight, we were like, all right, I've made money tonight. That's all I need. And then the rest was gravy after that. All right, so let's get into this main event, UFC 272, Covington versus Masvidal. Kobe Covington, the heavy favorite at minus 340. Jorge Masvidal, plus 260. Last time we saw him, Usman knocked him out. So now, and Kobe Covington, obviously a much better wrestler, a much better overall fighter. These guys, you know the story. If you don't know it by now, best friends, trained together, were roommates, came up together, had the falling out, and now they hate each other. They were still training at the same gym. They would have to be separated at the gym. They would have to kick Masvidal out of the gym because he was just you know, crap-talking Covington the entire time. These guys are the two of the best trash-talkers in the UFC. These guys are two of the best, you know, the biggest draws in the UFC as far as pay-per-view dollars go. Masvidal is a huge draw. He's a well-known name in the sport of UFC of just, you know, whether it's in-depth guys like you or just on-the-surface guys that are more like me and just people that kind of just know the big names, right? Jorge Masvidal is a big name, and he's a big underdog in this fight, mostly because Kobe Covington is just a better fighter. He's a better wrestler. He's, you know, Masvidal likes to go for the knockout. He goes for the big finish. And Covington is probably just going to look to, you know, take this to the ground and get this into a wrestling match. My question for you is, since these guys are such bitter enemies, and this is a grudge match, and nothing title-wise is on the line, what's the most embarrassing way that Masvidal could lose? And will Covington try to do that? That's how I'm looking at this fight. Because if I'm Covington, I'm like, look, I can beat this guy, right? Like, I can wrestle. If we get him on the ground, he can submit. I can win by points. I can beat this guy. But if I want to humiliate him, how do I do that?
Yeah, you submit him. You submit Jorge Masvidal. You make Jorge Masvidal say that I quit. I mean, this is a guy that's only been submitted twice in his mixed martial arts career. This is a guy that's fought 50 times. And the two times that, I mean, it was early on. It was like 2013 that he got submitted. And then he got, in 2009, one of the sickest submissions, it was an inverted triangle choke that he got submitted. It was in Bellator that he did this. It was like a flying triangle, basically, that Jorge Masvidal submitted to. But again, you want to embarrass somebody, yeah, you make them tap, or you make them, you know, you make them quit, you make them pass out. If Kobe Covington can do that, it would be far more impressive, far more painful for Jorge Masvidal to stomach, as opposed to a knockout, which, again, also would be a bit humiliating, because Jorge Masvidal, albeit, has never been stopped by strikes outside of the last time he just got knocked out by Kamaru Usman. And Kobe Covington is not a power puncher. He is a volume striker. He's a guy that's going to overwhelm you via TKO or just outpoint you. So I guess it would be 1-1A, submission for sure, and then a knockout, you know, for now, back-to-back knockouts for Jorge Masvidal to suffer. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he goes from here if either of those take place.
And if you look at the reverse of that, Masvidal obviously knocking out Covington would be the way for him to go. He does have the fastest knockout in UFC history, that knee to the face that lasted,
five seconds against Van Askren.
I think it took him 2 seconds to hit the knee, and then when you see him fall to the ground, that's another second, and then the ref let him get like two punches in, and then that was it, before he could jump. Like, he was got two punches in before the ref could even jump on top and be like, please stop fighting, this guy is knocked out cold.
I mean, the sickest thing is that there's video of him preparing that and practicing that prior to the knockout of Ben Askren. Like, mm-hmm. there's video of, like, in, like, before, moments before he walked out to the cage, mm-hmm. he was prepping to do that. I mean, Jorge Masvidal, yeah, I mean, this is a dude that was a journeyman. This is a dude that was, like, good but never great. You know, was basically well-known for being a part of Kimbo Slice's backyard video mm-hmm. brawls in Miami. But then he went on this run. He went on this run where he took 16 months off. Then he knocked out Darren Till, a great European fighter in London, in his hometown, where it was supposed to be Darren Till's comeback fight. But Jorge Masvidal knocks it out. Then he gets into an altercation with another fighter in the post-fight, and that's where the 7-cent soda and three-piece, you know, came about. That whole, and then he knocks out Ben Askren. Then he wins the BMF title, gets The Rock, put that belt around his waist against Nate Diaz. I mean, this guy was an overnight sensation. It's crazy. And now he's got another big-time fight that's going to generate a pretty hefty pay-per-view audience.
Just my opinion, if Covington gets him to tap, he should have to give up that BMF belt. Like, you just have to. Like, that's bragging rights to me. That should go, like, that should be a belt that's only for grudge matches, right? The next grudge match gets that belt. It should be something like that. So when we look at the odds, Covington by points here, since he is such a big favorite at minus 340. Look at the method of victory here. Covington by points is minus 110, which is a pretty standard bet as far as that goes, as far as the juice is concerned. Covington by knockout is the next shortest at plus 340. And then Masvidal by knockout. And then if you think that Covington is going to try to get Masvidal to tap, Covington by submission is 10 to 1 right now. 10 to 1. $100 gets you $1,000 back. So $1,100 technically, but you know what I mean, $1,000. So to me, that's the way, like, if you're looking for value, that's the way to go, because with such high emotion, I'm looking at what we just talked about. These guys want to embarrass each other. This isn't just about, oh, I beat you. To me, the way that the animosity has gone back and forth between these two the last few weeks and the last few months and the last year or so, like, he wants to embarrass him in front of everyone.
See, I don't agree with that. We talked about this last week on the show. I'm handicapping this fight for Covington to win via decision, so I'm going to lay a chunk of that value at $1.10. That's just how Covington fights. He beats guys via decision. He overwhelms them. And granted, he did finish Tyron Woodley, split between those losses to Kamaru Usman. Woodley suffered an injury. He suffered an injury on a takedown, so I don't really, in the fifth round, in a fight that Covington was dominating for four rounds, so I don't really consider that a finish, even though it goes down technically as a TKO victory. Prior to that, Covington had not had a finish in his mixed martial arts career since 2016. He's a point fighter, and at the end of the day, Covington needs an opportunity to fight Kamaru Usman again. He still has the storyline that he won two rounds out of those three, or out of those five. The third round was controversial, so he wants another crack at the championship. He's not going to get that if he loses to Jorge Masvidal, so he has to play it safe. He has to play it smart. He has to avoid the fire that is Jorge Masvidal and win a fight that I think is going to be actually pretty boring at the end of the day, a five-round unanimous decision. I mean, that's what I see is going to happen. I hope that it turns into that bloodbath and two guys just want to kill each other and Masvidal is going to go in for the kill, but I just don't see that being the case. I think Covington's going to fight smart and understand, look, there are rules to this game, and you're not going to get a title shot off of a loss, but you will over it with a dominating win.
So the fight to go to the distance, minus 132 under yes, and then you think method of victory, Covington by points at minus 110, and obviously if you just want to lay the big number there, Covington on the money line at minus 340, that is that fight. Anything else that we need to know about this fight other than these two guys friggin' hate each other?
Is
there more on the line for Covington here than there is for Masvidal?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, Covington has put together this fictional character of a guy that's modeled after Conor McGregor, and really Covington kind of is backing up because he has won fights, but like, he's just rubbed people the wrong way. Like, every walk of life is, he was kicked out of that gym. He's not welcome back at ATT. Women don't like him. Brazilians don't like him. Minorities don't like him. He just finds every single thing to disrespect. Yet at the end of the day, this is how, this is our culture. Like, we want to see him fight. People want to see him get his face punched in. So they're going to tune in. Look, I think the weigh-ins will be very entertaining. I think the press conference, it will be entertaining as well. That I'll certainly tune into that. But I truly believe at the end of the day, it's going to be not fireworks as people would hope for in the octagon Saturday night.
And we might have a chance to speak with Masvidal later this week. More on that. Follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah, at 1-on-1-0-6-3 for that info. These guys are making the rounds. It's an ESPN fight. They're going through the rounds. So we've given an opportunity to maybe talk to Masvidal. So we'll post that if we get that chance. So you're going Covington by decision at minus 110. Moving on to, obviously, the co-main event we talked about, there's really no odds on that right now, as it's officially set, but it's not. There's no odds for me. I can't find odds on the next fight, the one that was half canceled and whatever. So we'll move on to Edison Barboza and Bryce Mitchell, two guys that are fighting from two different, completely different styles. Barboza likes to go for the knockout. He's got the heavy legs where he can kick you and knock you out, whereas Mitchell likes to finish you by submission. He likes to get on the ground and wrestle. So how do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I mean, it just actually depends on whose game plan is executed properly. Bryce Mitchell is one of the next big things. He's unbeaten in mixed martial arts, but this is a guy that is like, where is he? He's from like Tennessee or somewhere like that, where he's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu like black belt. He's from Arkansas. But he's like, you know, a guy that you wouldn't expect to be well-versed in jiu-jitsu and grappling, yet that's what he does, and he does it extremely well. He's like submission of the year, you know, candidate award winner, submissions of the month. You know, he's done the accolades. So is he going to be able to dictate his game plan of get this fight to the ground and get a submission versus a guy that's an outstanding kickboxer, outstanding Muay Thai practitioner, the wheel kick knockout that he had of Terry Adam in his UFC debut, or maybe it was his second fight. Highlight reel for sure. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Terry Adam knockout. You'll absolutely you'll love it. You know, go back and watch those 30 seconds. He's got great takedown defense, and it's still at 34, 35 years of age. He's a factor. Now, he did get knocked out his last time out against Gigi Kakazi, who is, you know, a guy that UFC is extremely high on. And it's kind of like gatekeeper role now for Edson Barboza. I think Bryce Mitchell should be favored in this fight. I think that definitely he's going to have the advantage to pressure Edson Barboza, avoid the serious knockouts. And Edson Barboza has succumbed to pressure over time. You know, Khabib Nurmagomedov was able to do that against him. Chikadze was able to do that against him. And you got to look for Bryce Mitchell, but probably inside the second or third round. I think it's definitely going to go over 1.5. I just don't think that that's going to be the recipe that Edson Barboza is going to be able to be successful. So Bryce Mitchell, execute his game plan, likely gets either a unanimous decision or a late finish against the former Brazilian striker.
So Mitchell right now on the money line is minus 158. If you want to go by method of victory, Mitchell to win by submission is plus 225. Mitchell to win by decision, also plus 225. And then the next one, Barboza to win by knockout, is plus 300.
Is there a prop for Mitchell via TKO or knockout?
Yes, there is. That's 9-1.
9-1. Okay, because he's never finished anybody like that. He's got 14 wins in his mixed martial arts career, 9 submission wins. So it's all likely that he's going to look to lock up an arm, you know, get a rear naked choke. And Barboza has tapped. Barboza has been submitted before in his mixed martial arts career.
If you think Barboza can land that knockout punch or kick, he's 3-1 right now. Again, like you mentioned with the submission, he's 20-1 to win by submission. The guy just does not like to go to the ground. And then Barboza by decision is plus 450. If you're looking at the round totals, you said over 1.5. I'm looking at 2.5 right now, over 2.5 at minus 110. So the odds makers do believe that this is most likely going to go close to the distance, or at least into the second round and deep into that second round. But you're thinking Mitchell by submission here, as he's, you know, when these guys go for those knockout punches, they leave themselves open occasionally. And if Mitchell can take advantage of that, he can get Barboza to the ground and get him to tap, or just, you know, kind of sit on him and win that way.
Yeah, he's going to have to overwhelm him, because, you know, thinking about it, Barboza has struggled with guys that have been successful on the feet with pressure and then get the fight to the ground. Mitchell's, I don't think, has that skill set to be able to be effective from a standing position. He's just going to have to get the fight to the ground and get it early. So control Barboza, and Barboza's, you know, a thick customer. He's got great leg kicks. He's a great athlete despite the age. So I think that you have to, you know, consider the fact that this is the toughest test, a big step up in competition for Bryce Mitchell. But I still like him. I think he's special, and I think he gets it done.
And then if we go to the next fight, Kevin Holland versus Alex Oliveira. Now, if Kevin, you want to fight Kevin Holland? If I could fight Kevin Holland, we just, you know, go on Instagram, slide into his DMs, talk some trash.
No,
that's what he does, though, right? Yeah. Like he invites guys to his gym and says, yeah, hey, you want to talk trash? Come spar with me and be my sparring partner, and I'll put you down. Now, that's a problem, because, you know, guys like you and me could challenge him and we'll get our ass kicked. But for him, also, like, that's not a good sparring partner. That's not how you prepare for a fight. Right?
No, it's not. But it's probably better than Alex Oliveira, who spends his probably training camps or outside of training camps having children. He has 10 kids.
And riding. He's a former bull rider,
and
too,
a former
right?
bull rider,
he's
yeah.
He rides bulls, too.
But not like not with 10 kids. Nothing wrong with big families, but 10 kids with not like with the same woman.
Yeah,
you know?
With a lot of different.
It's, what's that NFL player that has like 8 kids with like 8 different.
Man.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember.
I know you're tired about that. Yeah. So Kevin Holland here, the big favorite at minus 300. Alex Oliveira at plus 235 right now. If you're looking at method of victory, Kevin Holland to win by knockout. He is the knockout king at plus 110. And then if you look at anything else shorter than that, it's Kevin Holland to win by decision at plus 240. How do you see this one? I'm thinking, I mean, the odds makers are saying Kevin Holland by knockout here.
I don't know if I agree with on the knockout standpoint. I think that Kevin Holland should be the favorite, because, you know, he's going to be able to match athleticism with Alex Oliveira, likely match, you know, at least the speed and the pace that the fight goes, you know, early on in the first round. And he's going to have a tremendous grappling advantage over Alex Oliveira, and that's where he's going to have to get this fight to the ground. I'm not going to lay $3 for Kevin Holland to win, so I'm probably going to look for a decision prop. I like the over at $1.75. I feel comfortable laying that because Alex Oliveira is going to have to probably get a knockout in the first round. Kevin Holland's a guy that's probably going to frustrate Alex Oliveira because he does a lot of trash talking. But people got to remember too that Kevin Holland is one of those guys that really benefited from the COVID year. He was able to fight 5 times in 2021. That's a record for the UFC to have that many fights, and he was, you know, on the rise. But now he's returning back down to welterweight after that long stay at middleweight. So I think right now, certainly not a lot of value in Kevin Holland. I don't agree on the knockout. I think just, you know, him to win via decision, probably a little bit more likely, but I'll take the over at 1.5 for sure.
Oliveira, like you mentioned, he's on a 3-fight losing streak, so he's kind of desperate for a win here. Kevin Holland just talks a bunch of trash and fights his haters. Like, look, to be fair, respect to that, right? Like, if you can legit fight your haters, like, if you can legit fight the trolls on Twitter, I mean, more power to you, right?
And I think he's gaining popularity. I mean, yeah. If that troll is going to come out and get spar with him at his gym, get finished, probably going to follow him in his next fight, wouldn't you not? I mean, that can hold a grudge after a guy, you know, like, offered to talk trash to you, come with work this out, and then, you know, Kevin Holland shows how great he is.
And then if you look to the final fight on the main card, or the first fight on the main card, Sergey Spivak against Greg Hardy, one of the most polarizing fighters in the UFC. People really, really hate this guy.
Yeah.
Like, really hate this guy. But his fights are fun because he comes out swinging. He wants to knock you out. His opponents usually, like, want to knock him out as well if they can, or get him to submit right now. Spivak is a huge favorite at minus 195. Greg Hardy at plus 165. If you think Greg Hardy can land one of those punches, you can get him by knockout at 3-1 at plus 300 right now. But it doesn't look like the odds makers are in his favor right now.
Yeah, they certainly shouldn't be because, you know, I'm going to lean Spivak here, but he's going to have to get a takedown. He's not going to be able to be on the feet with Greg Hardy because Greg Hardy can easily put his lights out. So Spivak's not going to risk that. And Greg Hardy has shown sound takedown defense in his UFC and mixed martial arts career. The problem is if the fight does get to the ground, the likelihood is that Greg Hardy is not getting up. But here's the thing. I mean, Greg Hardy has struggled against guys that are better fighters. Tai Tuivasa knocked him out. We just saw what Tai Tuivasa did to Derek Lewis, also predicted here on the Unnamed MMA podcast. Marcin Tybura, Alexander Volkov, all guys, beat Greg Hardy, and all guys that were not intimidated by Greg Hardy. Sergey Spivak does not strike me as someone that wouldn't be intimidated. I think there might be a little bit of hesitation because of what Greg Hardy is able to do. And it might frustrate people out there to learn, for those that have feelings about Greg Hardy. From what I understand, during his early, you know, introduction to UFC and MMA, like, he spent the time. Like, he spent the time in the gym. He worked at it. He was beat up. You know, this was when he was at ATT. Like, he was, like, treated like, you know, one of those amateur fighters. And no one cared about his history as in the NFL or his history off the field. Like, and he worked at it. And look, he shows his athleticism. Like, he shows that he is a scary fighter for about a round and a half. So the lean on Spivak, but that's dependent upon if he can get some takedowns. 225, likely too big of a price. So I might actually lean on the under. I might lean on the under thinking that Greg Hardy's going to have enough athleticism, enough takedown defense to get something done. Or if he's not, he's going to throw himself off balance, get taken down, and then Spivak gets the finish.
So if you're looking at under 1.5, that's plus 115. So you're getting plus money on that. So that's good value for that. Yeah, that's kind of how I see it. Like, watching some of his fights, he likes to go for the knockout. And that can, like we mentioned with Barboza, that can leave you vulnerable to takedowns, or if you fall off balance and someone grabs a leg, or they go, you know, they can duck underneath you. And so you're right. Like, if you try to go in full bore and go in for that knockout punch, you leave yourself open. And that's something that could, you know, not only Barboza and Hardy are suspect to that, but Jorge Masvidal as well. Like, all those guys are going for the knockout, and they might find themselves in some trouble if they get caught on the ground wrestling or in a hold or something like that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the scenario that's going to take place. And look, and I'll look at Spivak's history a little bit too. Like, he was overwhelmed in fights against Tom Aspinall and Walt Harris, guys that are great athletes and knockout punchers, just like, you know, a guy like Greg Hardy. So I certainly certainly am going to look at Greg Hardy to possibly play him when I haven't played him the previous couple of times, and you know, he's been knocked out for his efforts.
Anything on the undercard that grabs your attention into this UFC 272?
You know, I really like Devontae Smith against Ludwig Klein. I think that Devontae Smith, just being the better athlete, better knockout puncher, Klein's taking this fight on short notice. I think you can get Smith right now at $1.75 and the under at plus 135. I think he's either going to knock him out or Klein's going to knock out Smith. So small play on Smith and the under at 1.5.
Both, all right.
And the under 1.5, I think, is plus money.
All right. And then again, like, I'm so excited for this fight just because I feel like, yeah, when two guys meet up and then one wants a belt, like, that's fine and everything. But these guys in Covington and Masvidal hate each other so much that, like, it's the buildup to this fight is huge. I feel like there's been more excitement around these two guys being matched up than there has been some of the title fights the last few UFC pay-per-views.
Everybody loves a grudge. Everybody loves a little bit of animosity between guys, whether it's manufactured or not. This is actually, you know, there's realism to it. And, like, all the videos that you're seeing of them interacting with each other as friends, as training partners, on the come up, and now they just cannot stand one another. And look, it's a bigger fight for sure for Covington, because Masvidal's got other ventures, like, you know, he's got a tequila or a mezcal, you know, he's got an MMA or a promotion or a bare knuckle promotion that I believe he's promoting right now. He's likely got a future in maybe video, TV. Colby Covington is an MMA fighter, and that's it. Like, that's all he's going to do. So He loses this high-profile fight. That could be all she wrote for him.
So for the big fight, the main event, you're going Covington by decision at minus 110. Do you have a knockout pick of the week? It's early. It's only Tuesday. There's a lot of time between now and Saturday. But if you had to pick one thing, one for sure bet, one knockout pick, what are you going with?
I'm going to go with Umar Nurmagomedov to defeat Brian Kelleher. I love Brian Kelleher. He's a great, entertaining fighter, nicknamed Boom. Smokes weed in his lead up to his pre-fight videos. But Umar Nurmagomedov, obviously you know the last name.
Mm-hmm.
A very good combination between kickboxing and wrestling. He's unbeaten at 13-0. I think that he gets the win, but I think he's going to get I don't know if I'm going to go finish or not. He's just going to get the win. He's a huge favorite. So yeah. I should do something a little bit more on that. Early lean on the over in that fight at 2.5.
Okay. All right. So that is UFC 272. We might have something for you a little bit later in the week. So make sure you follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Follow Jordan on Twitter at Woodon1063. Head to FatJackSports.com for all of his picks. Those are posted on Friday. But make sure you head to FatJackSports.com in general. March Madness is coming up. There's college basketball every single day. There's NBA games and NHL games every single day. Hopefully we get a baseball announcement here soon, and there'll be baseball picks coming up here in a month. But make sure you check out FatJackSports.com. Check out Jordan on VSiN and on FatJackSports.com. And make sure you tune in for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast.